Welcome to the Salesforce Developer Podcast. My name is René Winkelmeier, and in this podcast, I'm hosting Salesforce Developer Advocates who are going to share insightful stories, new tips, techniques, and everything actually you have to know these days as a Salesforce developer. Today, I'm very happy to have a well-known guest back. It is Mohit Srivastava.
Hi, René. How are you?
I'm doing great. As we're recording the episode, it is a week before Dreamforce starts.
Right.
So I think we are in full swing.
Yeah. Thanks again for having me here on the podcast.
Oh, absolutely. So, Mo, you want to talk about something that is, you know, one of the exciting things for us as developers on Salesforce, which is one of our releases, specifically Winter 25. So tell me, what excites you about this release?
Yeah, so I would say biggest innovation that we are bringing for all of these developers in this release is Agentforce. Now, you would have heard what is Agentforce, but for those of you not familiar with it, you know, you'll obviously get more info, more content on this, you know, at Dreamforce. But for those of you curious about Agentforce is Salesforce portfolio of agent technologies. So what are these agents, right? So these agents are nothing but AI system that can understand your user input and take actions to accomplish any goals autonomously on Salesforce platform using, well-known tools that we already know, like Flows, Apex, and Prompt Builder. So I think we have all the technologies to developers, you know, so they can just go and build these agents.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. I'm very certain that we will hear more about this at Dreamforce and actually being able to experience it hand on. Small teaser, when you listen to it, you may want to go to Trailhead and to check some things out. Now, agents are new as part of Agentforce. Are there some product changes coming with Winter 25 for our customers with that?
Yes. So there are a lot of product changes. So a lot of you might have heard about or have used Einstein Copilot. So to build a Copilot, you used to have this Copilot builder. So that builder is now capable of building agents as well, apart from Einstein Copilot. So the Copilot that you have today, right, it's going to be more advanced because now you have access to a lot of good things that I'm going to talk about. First is obviously topics that are huge. So whether you are building assistive agents like Copilot or completely autonomous agents like service agents that we have, Agent Builder is your go-to place to configure and extend all of these capabilities. And as I talked about, these agent builders have something called as topics. So what are topics? So to explain you what are topics, right? Previously, right, we didn't have this concept of topics. So you only had actions for Copilot. And imagine that action list growing up, like let's say 100 or 150 actions, right? Then you are solely dependent on the LLM's capability to figure out the right actions for you. And, you know, as this action list gets bigger, the LLM capability also decreases. So, you know, there are more error rates or hallucinations in that aspect. We are fixing this with topics. So with topics, what you can do is you can decide the job of your agent, and then based on the job, you can come up with topics, and then you can categorize these actions under these topics. So a topic will have a bunch of actions, and the topic configuration will have instructions and scopes. So again, instructions and scopes are both written in natural language. What you are basically doing there is telling an LLM that, hey, you know, these are the actions for these topics. When you try to find actions and execute, this is how you should proceed.
Awesome. So that is already, I would say, really a huge advancement that we're going to see in how companies will be able to use generative AI really as well for their employees and their customers. And for those, you know, if you, again, when you listen to this, you eventually will see topics on the trailer content, for example. So this would be huge to try it out. This just becomes much more effective and efficient, and also gives us as developer or admins, whoever's going to build the agents, actually many more capabilities on how we can bring the technology to our end users. Now, there's also something for developers specifically now in Winter 25, which I saw Yumo a couple of times posting in our internal Slack channels. I think it's now a dev assistant, correct?
Yes. So that is exciting. Glad that you reminded me. So dev assistant is very new. So what is dev assistant, right? So you know Einstein for developers. That's your assistant for, you know, helping with Salesforce languages, specifically Apex and LWC. So with dev assistant, now we have turned on the multi-turn chat capability. That means, you know, you can ask the dev assistant to explain a piece of code or write test cases or, for example, write documentation. So dev assistant is like a multi-turn chat, just like ChatGPT if you're used to, but with respect to Salesforce languages like Apex and LWC. So you can throw in your questions and you can start having the conversation. And that unlocks a whole level of productivity, in my opinion, because then you can, you know, imagine you're a developer who are working in a big code base and you quickly want to understand like what is going on, you know, in this code base. You can use Dev Assistant as your helpful assistant to sort of help you in understanding all the existing code base.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. I haven't tried myself yet, but I saw a couple of internal videos. And actually, again, your Slack post about this. So this sounds also very exciting. Now, maybe moving a bit away from everything AI to all things data that we are seeing now in Winter 25, specifically Data Cloud. So what are your highlights in Winter 25?
Yeah, so the biggest highlight for me in Winter 25 is going to be the capabilities like vector search, hybrid search, and, you know, being able to use these, you know, vector search and hybrid search directly in the prompt, which, you know, a lot of you might already know, it's also part of RAG, retrieval augment generation. So these capabilities like retrieval augment generation, a native database like vector database for, you know, using or unlocking your all the unstructured data, like it might be your case comments or emails or notes that you're taking, right? So you can vectorize all these things and send it as a part of the prompt, you know, to get all your queries answered about that specific piece of document. So that's a lot of productivity gain. And one thing I want to highlight there for us, right, like retrieval augment generation, if you're a developer and if you are doing your own DIY, it's pretty hard to do. And this whole technology stack that we have here on top of Data Cloud, it's just super easy, click and point. You connect to, you know, various data sources like, you know, files you can upload, or you can have your file in S3 or, you know, some other system where you can store unstructured data, right? Like Salesforce files, for example. You can bring in all of them, you know, or vectorize it, right? And it will create you the indexes that are required with vectors. And now, you know, using Apex or even there is a low-code tool that we call it as Retrievers. So using that, you can, you know, basically start querying that data for semantic queries. Like you can say, okay, you know, give me similar cases, you know, if you have case comments there. Or you can say, hey, you know, give me all the data with this specific meaning, you know. And it'll give you all those results. And then you can put it in the prompt so that your prompt is now no more hallucinating. And it's actually learning from that in-context learning and giving you that relevant result. So I'm really excited about retrieval augment generation capability, the vector search and hybrid search, all within Data Cloud. So this is super, it's going to be super useful for enterprises for sure to unlock all that unstructured data that they have.
I totally agree on this. I think when I saw that, and you know, the announcement of RAG came a couple of months ago, and now we're really bringing it to the platform, right, which is great. And I'm very grateful that you also mentioned the connection between prompts and RAG, because this is like really key, right? You can have all the data, but actually, once you bring it also to your Gen AI features, then you're really unlocking the capability of Gen AI, right? I think that is really important because, you know, without good data, there's no good AI. I think I said that a couple of times in other podcasts. And now with all the data that exists, right, your PDFs, your PowerPoints, your CSV files, no matter what it is, right?
Right.
You can just bring it into your Gen AI with Data Cloud. And actually also to all the other capabilities of Data Cloud. I think that's also something we should not forget, that the data now sits in Data Cloud and you can use it for all the different use cases you want to have with your data in your enterprise.
That's correct. Yes, absolutely.
Now, the DevOps person in me, which has been, you know, for a long time, always my pet peeve, saw also some really nice enhancements that we saw, sandboxes for Data Cloud specifically.
Yes, really excited, right, for sandboxes. They are in beta, but soon it will go GA. Yeah, so sandboxes, as you know, one of the, I think, popular asks from our customer was, customers were, we need sandboxes because we need to test all these connections, you know, test it with data before we confidently deploy to production. So sandboxes are here. You can turn it on right now, use it. And also a lot of packaging enhancements, like, for example, now you can have your own Data Cloud package and can establish like a dependency between that Data Cloud package and Salesforce platform packages that you have. You can lock in certain custom metadata. I think this is really good for ISVs. Let's say, you have some metadata and you want to lock it so your subscribers are not customizing that. You can do that. It's already a capability in the platform, but I think slowly we are bringing all those capabilities from the platform to the Data Cloud. So that's really interesting.
Which brings me, but that's a topic for 25 other podcasts, is into the realm of data ops and AI ops. I think that's something that we haven't really touched yet, but hopefully we'll touch soon in the various areas of content that we create, that, now you have your sandboxes. And it's not only like, regular org with Sales Cloud, Core Platform, Service Cloud, whatnot, but actually now you're bringing Data Cloud into the mix, Engine AI across all those different use cases. But now how you bring this into the developer flow, into the QA flow, up until production, right? I think these are things that we haven't really touched yet, but will be equally important as an enterprise rolls out more and more of these capabilities. So really exciting that we have now some of these things already in Windows 25 that customers can start explore and iterate actually with that.
Yes. And I forgot one thing that, Data Cloud, this whole sandbox thing is also enabling the DevOps, like DevOps center team, to integrate with it. So, that's also another capability, not in this release, but in future, there's going to be Data Cloud integration with DevOps center.
Which makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, we can today package certain parts of Data Cloud into a data kit. That's how it's called, which is actually just an unlocked package, frankly, right, behind the scenes. But also that shows really the power that is like Data Cloud is leveraging the power of the Salesforce platform. So even if there's, a specific named element like Data Kit, it's just using the same core technology that we all know and are so experienced with, which is unlocked packages, right? And can you even go further and say you're going to bundle like Data Kits with the regular metadata that you have in from putting from your Data Cloud, creating a new unlocked package and use that for deployment, right? So I think these are a lot of use cases. Reminds me a bit of about the Easy Space Assembly that we built a couple of years ago, where we talk about multi-package directory deployment. I think, we're getting potentially in a similar realm now to see how we can bring this actually on the different platforms and in the different development workflows really together.
Absolutely.
Now, we said a couple of times Salesforce platform. Not everything is Gen AI, not everything is data, but so much more also happened on the core platform, specifically when we look at Lightning Web Components, Apex. What are your highlights there?
Yeah, so first of all, targeting Lightning Web Components. So one of the most requested features from our developers was local development. So really excited to share that local development is now in beta, and you should already have it if you're using Winter 25 sandboxes and ScratchArchs. So this is going to make it very easy. So, as a developer, right, you don't have to like keep refreshing your page or reloading your page to see your actual changes that you're making to the code base, whether it might be in your HTML, CSS, or maybe JavaScript, right? You want to really quickly iterate on your development. And we are enabling that for you with local development. So local development, as you know, it was there previously, but it was not that great. And I think we have architected from the ground up. So you can use, you know, things like hot module reloading, you know, or WebSockets, things like that, you know, is inbuilt now to make it easy for you to locally preview your LWC. And that is not just for your LWC on Lightning experience. We are giving this local development experience when you're using LWC in, like, say, experience cloud sites or even mobile apps. So I think this is a tremendous boost in the developer productivity, for sure, if you just start using it.
I totally recommend what you just said. I tried it last week, and I'm very excited. Definitely a huge improvement. And they can just see, you know, just circumventing the usual deployment, page refresh cycle. And with that, really, you know, we're giving you time back by reducing the time that you're spending in the inner loop from development, testing. And as you said, and all experiences. It's just not in Lex. It is also an experience cloud, which makes it really, really neat, actually, as a developer to be just, you know, you can iterate so much faster now, which makes it really, really great. Now, there was one other thing that I saw in the release notes, which is this style, which is a great feature we are giving now to developers in terms of styling in the light DOM and the shadow. Yeah. Tell me.
Yes, so this is a feature, you know, where, you know, previously what used to happen is when you have like these multiple class elements, right, on let's say a div or paragraph or any other HTML tag here, right? So we used to like concatenate these and modify these, you know, so it was a little bit difficult for developers, I would say, right? We are making that easier. We no more concatenate. We also support that, you know, you can now pass in an object as well into that style. So take a look at some of the examples, you know, on our developer blog, also on the documentation site. And you'll see that, you know, those little enhancements, you know, of we actually giving you more capabilities, like, you know, the bindings, right? So now the bindings for the stylings is more manageable. So that, and then, you know, there is a new, this style property, as Rene, you were talking about. So this style property, again, makes it easy. So, you know, the way you style components was different for light DOM versus shadow DOM. For those of you who know what is light DOM and shadow DOM, right? So there are different ways to style them. So when you're writing code, you always had to switch context of, okay, whether I'm writing in, this is a light DOM or shadow DOM, and this is how I'm going to style. They're all making this consistent now with this style element, and there's a host element property too. So whether you are, you know, basically, I would say they're making a convenient syntax now for all of the developers to make it easy, you know, whether you are working with styling or whether you're trying to target a parent element using the template host, right? So all these capabilities are being baked into the LWC framework. So it should make it really easy, you know, with API version 62 and above for developers.
Great. Now, I want to lastly touch on Apex. I mean, there are so many things going on, and we're going to put the summarization blog by you also in the show notes. But like in Apex, I saw something that really sparked my interest, which is preventing collection modification during iteration, which seemed to be finally landing, and to prevent some interesting developer behavior, I would say.
Yeah, you know, modifying state when you're iterating something has shown to be problematic. Most of the languages that at least I have written, like Java, etc., they already prevent that modification. You know, if you're working with sets and if you've used in iteration, you don't get ability to modify them because it can change the whole structure of your set. And then anything that is within that for loop or the iteration, right, will have to dynamically kind of change when the program is getting executed. Right. So I think it's better for all the programmers to give them some consistency, right? So just to prevent you from, you know, writing some anti-patterns here, I think they've given this feature, which is like you cannot modify a collection now while it's being iterated. I think this is a great feature that is finally here in Apex language. So really excited for that. And hopefully with 62 version, you know, you are making sure that, you know, wherever you are like sort of modifying the state of strings, you are making sure to follow these new conventions.
Awesome. And yeah, I really would love to talk more about you, but I think I want to keep this short. There's so much more in the blog post. And, you know, if you're listening to this, go to the show notes. You will read about the improved error messages that we'll have for Invalid Circle with new ESLint properties for LWCs. You can now use GraphQL via adapter and experience cloud size and so much more. Now, Mo, thank you very much for being on the podcast again. And it's a pleasure. And I will see you hopefully in a couple of days at Dreamforce.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone. Looking forward for Dreamforce and seeing everyone. Thank you.
If you're still here, thanks for listening. And head over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast to check out all our episodes. And also check out the show notes, because that's where you will find all the great links to provide you more information and insights about all the topics we talked about today. Bye-bye.